Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again from out west on the Pacific Ocean, the Golden State. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, on the internet and around the world. I'm your host, Lauren Cartagena. Thank you again for joining us on another edition of Radio Pangea, the show that connects you, the listener, to true, real, breaking international news. News that has been verified, that has been vetted, and that is from reliable sources, because Radio Pangea is a real independent news outlet. Want to thank our new listenership again, as always, in the African continent, specifically the southeastern part of the continent, Zambia and South Africa, in the middle of the country, Uganda, and in the northern part of the continent, Morocco. Thank you very much for making Radio Pangea your destination for news. Getting to it. A powerful Pacific storm blew into southern and central California with wind-driven heavy rains that downed power lines and electrocuted a man, killed a motorist in a submerged car, and disrupted hundreds of flights at airports. With the storm feeding on an atmospheric river of moisture stretching far out into the Pacific, precautionary evacuations of homes in some neighborhoods were requested due to the potential for mudslides and debris flows. At least four people died after a powerful storm pummeled Southern California at night, flooding numerous roadways in Los Angeles and San Diego. In the Sherman Oaks neighborhood of Los Angeles, a falling tree brought down power lines and hit a car. A 55-year-old man was electrocuted and pronounced dead at a hospital. Two others died in separate car accidents on Interstate 15 in San Diego amid heavy rain. And a motorist was found dead in a fully submerged vehicle in Victorville in San Bernardino, California County. In the Studio City neighborhood of Los Angeles, two cars plunged into a 25-foot-deep sinkhole. At least one person was trapped when the first vehicle fell into the hole until rescue crews were able to pull the woman out of the car. Moving on. The blonde sheik, Omar Abdul Rahman, the Egyptian-born cleric leaked to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, died in U.S. prison. The Justice Department said he was 78 years old. Abdul Rahman was serving a life sentence on several terrorism-related charges at a federal medical center in Butner, North Carolina. His death came long after a battle with diabetes and coronary heart disease. The Sheikh was seen as a jihadist spiritual leader, and even after his conviction in 1995 for conspiracy to bomb New York City landmarks, including the United Nations, and assassinate the former Egyptian president Hosni Mubarak, Abdul Rahman, who sported a long gray beard and signature sunglasses, led the militant group Jamaat Islamiyah in Egypt before immigrating to the United States. He preached a radical brand of Islam and was seen as having inspired the 1993 bombing of New York's World Trade Center, which left six people dead and wounded 1,000 more. His son, Mohammed Omar, was informed of the death and told the family had contacted the U.S. and Egyptian authorities to repatriate the late cleric's body. Abdul Rahman had been in prison in North Carolina since 2007. He was hospitalized in late 2006 in the state of Missouri after he began to spit blood and was given a blood transfusion. After his incarceration, the Sheikh became a cause celebrate for jihadists and Islamists who demanded the blind and ailing militants' freedom. A year before al-Qaeda carried out the September 11, 2001 terror attacks in the U.S., the group's founder, Osama bin Laden, vowed to free Abdul Rahman in a statement broadcast on Qatar's satellite TV channel Al Jazeera. In 2002, Egyptians then Islamic president Mohamed Morsi Abdul Rahman's transfer to Egypt for humanitarian reasons. Jamaat Islamiyah militants took part in a 1981 attack that killed Egyptian's former president Anwar Sadat. whose assassination Abdul-Rahman had legitimized by issuing a fatwa. The militant group, long destined as a terrorist organization despite its renunciation of violence in recent years, also claimed responsibility for a devastating 1997 attack in the country's southern city of Luxor, which killed some 60 people. Born in 1938 to a family of poor farmers in the town of Gamalia in the Nile Delta, Abdul-Rahman obtained a doctorate in theology at the Islamic University of Al-Azhar in Cairo. Despite his radical connections, Abdul-Rahman in 1990 traveled to the U.S. and preached his impassioned sermons to mosques in New Jersey and in Brooklyn after obtaining a tourist visa from the U.S. in Sudan, of all places. From the U.S., he continued to urge the violent overthrow of the Egyptian government in cassette tapes sent to his homeland. Abdul-Rahman was ultimately sentenced to life in prison for conspiring to execute a spat of bombings in New York City against U.N. headquarters, bridges, and government buildings. Getting to our Latin America news for the day. More than 680 Cubans have been deported back to Cuba since the United States ended its decades-old policy, giving them preferred immigration status in January. According to official Cuban reports, 683 people have been sent back to the Caribbean island from the United States or from Mexico, the Bahamas, and the Cayman Islands, where they were crossing in a bid to reach the U.S. border. On January 12th, then-President Barack Hussein Obama scrapped in immediate effect a 1995 policy that had given Cubans near automatic entry into the United States if they managed to set a foot on American soil, regardless of their visa status. Cubans attempting to enter the country by sea had been turned back. The end of the so-called wet foot, dry foot policy was amid a broader part of the normalization and warming of the U.S.-Cuban relations after a half century of hostility that Obama had helped engineer in 2015, along with President Raul Castro of Cuba. Now, overland Cuban migrants are treated like those who have attempted to cross into the United States by water and can be sent back to Cuba unless they can convince U.S. officials that they fear persecution or have valid humanitarian reasons to be let in. Obama's actions came just days before President Donald Trump took office on January 20th. The Republican property tycoon has vowed to fight illegal immigration and also criticized the U.S.-Cuban normalization deal. Cuba's communist government had opposed the wet-foot, dry-foot policy on grounds that the special treatment encouraged illegal migration and human trafficking. Mexico deported 264 Cubans and turned away 144 who were trying to illegally enter the country through airports. The Bahamas and the Cayman Islands deported a combined 156 people. A total of 50,082 Cubans entered the United States in 2016, according to the Office of Field Operations of the Customs and Border Protection Service. Of those, 38,310 arrived illegally, while just 11,772 had a proper visa. Last year's numbers exceeded the 36,700 Cubans who fled the island in 1994 in makeshift boats headed for the U.S. coastline some 90 miles or just 145 kilometers away during the so-called raft crisis. That was the second largest mass exodus from Cuba since 1980, when 120,000 people fled to Florida on boats launched from the port of Mariel on an incident known as the Mariel boat lift. In other news, Pennsylvania environmental regulators have found a likely correlation between a natural gas company's fracking operation and a series of tiny earthquakes in western Pennsylvania last year. The earthquakes were recorded last April in Lawrence County, about 50 miles north of Pittsburgh, and close to a natural gas well paid by Houston-based Hillcorp Energy. They were too weak to be felt by humans and no damage was reported. Fracking now, a method to extract gas or oil from underground shale rock, has been tied to earthquakes in neighboring Ohio and other states, but never before in Pennsylvania, the nation's number two natural gas-producing state. Hilcorp's fracking operation were also blamed for causing 77 earthquakes in Poland Township, Ohio, a few miles from last April's tremors in Pennsylvania. One of the 2014 tremblers was a magnitude 3.0, strong enough to be felt by residents and potentially one of the largest earthquakes induced by hydraulic fracking in the United States. The Pennsylvania quake were detected on April 25, 2016, less than a month after Hilcorp began fracking four Utica shale wells in Mahoning Township. Fracking, the common name for hydraulic fracking, involves a high-pressure injection of millions of gallons of water along with sand and chemicals into a well, shattering the shale rock and freeing the gas. It has very rarely been tied to earthquakes strong enough to be felt. Pennsylvania now is a relatively quiescent state when it comes to earthquakes and rarely experiences any tremors. So we're going to keep on this story because it's interesting to think for 1 second that man-made earthquakes can be created by simply fracking or introducing millions of gallons of high-pressurized water along with sand and other chemicals. That can actually create earthquakes. Can they be felt? Maybe, maybe not. We're not sure. But as fracking expands, this type of phenomenon could certainly increase, and we're going to stay on it. In international news again, to the European, and getting into a European and almost our Middle Eastern news for the day. Albanian police say they have arrested a man who allegedly had 1.25 metric tons or 1.38 tons of dried cannabis under his house. A police statement said the drugs were found packed in plastic bags and hidden under underground tunnels that the man allegedly dug under his house in the village of Lora district, about 160 kilometers or just 100 miles southeast of the Albanian capital of Tirana. Authorities in Albania say they destroyed about 2.5 million marijuana plants last year, four times more than the year before. They also reported seizing several metric tons of cannabis at border crossing points or from boats bound for neighboring Italy and Greece. And sticking to the illegal drug trade, over $60 million worth of cocaine in brightly colored bundles have washed up ashore on two beaches in eastern England. The National Crime Agency said it was examining the discovery near the resort of Great Yarmouth, some 140 miles or 200 kilometers northeast of London. The first holdalls were discovered on the afternoon, and more were found nearby. In all, 360 kilograms of cocaine has washed up ashore in what the NTA called a major blow to the organized criminals involved. Police Superintendent Dave Buckley said he believed that all the packages have now been recovered, but appealed for anyone finding more to contact police immediately. Quote, "We will have extra officers in the air to monitor the situation because it is extremely unlikely that this was their intended destination." And with that, you know the news. I want to thank you again for listening to Radio Pangea. Want to thank all of our listenership in the United States, the new listenership in Texas and in Maryland and in Pennsylvania. If you like what you hear, please follow us, youtube.com/Pangea Foundation, or like us, facebook.com/Radio Pangea. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Lauren Cartagena. As always, please think for yourself.